Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fourth and final hour, WEEI Afternoons. Before we get to the drive, we did have some information come forth from Ann Michael May in a interview she did with Dave Portnoy.
Not just an interview.
Well, yes, a pizza review or whatever, the whole thing. And that was after
a chicken parm review.
That was after she did her whole, what is it, after Bakemiss or post Bakemiss, her new show that's going to be on NBC Sports Boston that she just finished taping.
Does this also qualify as a little thing or is this bigger?
It's bigger. It's on regional cable television at the very least.
Good for her.
Sports
Good for
Network.
Her.
We can ask Drake about it. But she let slip what Drake wouldn't tell us, and I hadn't heard any of the offensive linemen let slip. He got the lineman saunas for Christmas.
Oh.
What do we think of a sauna for Christmas?
I think it's a terrible gift.
Oh, what? Why?
Wait a minute. Like a whirlpool?
No, like the
like
room, the box that you sit in and sweat.
Okay.
Is it a better gift now?
That's better. Yeah, I thought maybe like I was thinking jacuzzi. Okay. So, because I put a jacuzzi in my backyard one time, and I literally had to pay to get nice landscape around the jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing, and your electric bill goes up because you run the pump year-round.
It's like the worst gift ever.
And if you house it, they tell you don't do anything in the sauna because I'll have to drain it and pump it out,
but
and I'll know what you did in the sauna.
Box, I love that. If you got the space for that, I love that gift. What, you don't like it, Fitz?
Oh, no. As the proud owner of a sauna, Ted, I think it's an awesome gift.
Like one of those new age ones where you step into it? Where you, like, just the individual? Okay.
No, we have I've got a barrel sauna that fits four in a very tight sort of, like, private jet capacity. it's awesome.
So what does the temperature get up to?
180.
180 degrees?
Yeah, that's when I jump in there every day, sick brag. Yeah. I crank it to between 160 and 180. They say if you spend 15 minutes.
There you go.
Between 160 and 180, Andy, all your toxins.
Yep, out.
Have you done the sauna cold bath yet?
Yeah, sometimes I either jump in the snow or run right into a cold shower.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
It's awesome.
What Fitzy just said, you know, they tell you, three times a week at no more than really 15 minutes, it will get all those bad toxins out of you. So you shouldn't ever get sick. Right,
Stiz, you might want to get a sauna.
Stiz is thinking,
I'm
going to
need
right?
like an extra large.
We're not going to mention what toxins. We're just telling you, you might want to get us. So we land on this is a good. This is better than the bones that.
Yeah,
Joe
you know
Burrow
who needs
gave?
To take notes is Joe Burrow with the sword and the bones. Get out of here with that. A sauna's the way to go.
Okay, so but it's also their fact.
That's the name of Burrow's new pub. He's opening up in Covington, Kentucky.
Do you lose weight in the sauna?
You shed a lot of water weight.
Yeah.
All right, so if all the linemen show up and all of a sudden Will Campbell's playing at 265 at left tackle, you got to
if he's in there for no more than 15 minutes, he should be okay.
Plus, you got Ann Michael giving him cinnamon rolls and cookies, and then you got a sauna, so it probably all balances out. All right, Stiz, 507.09, time for the drive.
This is the drive.
Swings and drives one high and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So obviously we started off the show talking Patriots Chargers. We're ending the show talking Patriots Chargers. Big game. So Ted Johnson, in this big game, what is the Patriots' biggest advantage heading into this matchup?
The biggest advantage is that they play in a place that's going to be 25 degrees.
You love the other factors or whatever in this game, huh?
The external factors. Thing. I think that's I think it's the number one thing.
And we did
for
just see
a team that plays in the warm weather all the time. Yeah.
Thanks to our friends at Channel 7, we had it on in the studio here. Snow showers and some wind during the game, during the end of the game, 30 degrees ish there. So you could get a weather game, right, so to speak, for
Justin Herbert, who people tell me he played in the Northwest, so there was some rain and cold out there.
Do you want me to give you a better one?
Sure.
A different one?
No, it's you can like that one.
I'll give you just an honorary mention to I think his passing yards per or his yards per passing play are going to be the lowest. I think he's going to dink and dunk. I think they're going to be just fine possessing the ball and playing keep away. And just kind of, they're not going to let him get big plays, so he's going to dink and dunk.
So you trended into mine because I think the biggest advantage the Patriots have is Drake May.
That's it.
I think he's just rolling right now. I don't have a ton of fears of, I've heard just too many, I'm kind of sick of, well, it's his first playoff game. Okay, so? Is there this rule where you can't win your first playoff game? Is there this rule where you can't throw it, I don't know, 35 times for 280 yards and three touchdowns in your first playoff? I missed it if that's a new rule in the NFL. Mm-hmm. When the guy who has played the position as well as anybody since week one, I don't see any reason why he's going to fall on his face because you labeled it a playoff game. It's game number 18 for him, right? Mm-hmm. It's the 18th start of the season against a pretty good opponent. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
The only pushback I'd give it to you is that Josh McDaniels has said that Drake's going to see things he hasn't seen all season, which I don't know about that, but you know, they might have a wrinkle or two that he hasn't seen.
But that, if that happens, that's not happening because it's his first playoff game. It's happening because Minter's a good coordinator. Mm-hmm. He could have played in week 10, right? And Minter and Derwin James could have confused him.
And it came up with stuff he hadn't seen all year at that
point. It's got nothing to do with it being his first playoff game, so I'm kind of sick of that narrative. Right. It's not going to be because it's his first playoff game.
Yell at your buddy.
I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm just saying I'm a little sick of that. So we did talk to our buddy Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal, and we asked him what aspect of this game he's most excited to watch.
Well, I mean, I think we got two young quarterbacks who are, you know, hovering at the top of the league in terms of their ability and the things that they've done this year. Herbert has been really impressive when you look at all that's gone wrong around him from a health perspective. You know, they're built a certain way, and to have both tackles, you know, one missed the entire year and the other one missed, you know, a good portion of it and not going to be back for the postseason. Like, that's pretty massive that he's been able to kind of elevate that group around him. And obviously we've seen Drake just go, you know, supernova. So I love that aspect of it because I think this is, we're looking kind of at the future a little bit here that's happening in the present. And then I love the little chess matches. You're talking about Harbaugh and Vrabel, and it's McDaniels versus Jesse Minter, the DC. It's, you know, the long veteran coordinator Greg Roman against Zach Kor, and I guess you would say Vrabel too, you know, with the defensive influence. And like, how does that get divvied up, and who wins those matchups? Because there's a lot of little things that can be done in this game, and I'm, you know, there's a few things that I've circled that I'm really looking forward to watching.
So I'm going to take my response to the. It's a great answer.
And there's a lot there, but it's
something jumped out to me there. I don't believe, so we are now, as Furzoco said, we're like now almost full 5 days into this breakdown of this matchup. We've talked a lot about Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, and Josh McDaniels.
I like it.
There's four coordinators in this game, isn't
there?
Well,
Zach Kor.
Yeah, Zach Kor.
He's his first year, so you don't know as much about him.
But
he hasn't built a reputation.
Exactly. So if we're going to question Drake May and how he reacts to his first playoff game, because I get that Vrabel can oversee the defense, but we've seen him. You've said it. He's a head coach, right? He's not calling the plays. He's not taking it from Zach Kor on the. So Zach Kor is going against your guy Roman and going against Justin Herbert. Where are we on Zach Hardcore in terms of him being ready for the choosing to blitz, not to blitz, how to blitz, when to blitz, all of these things that kind of fall onto his plate? How are we feeling about him?
I'm a little bit more nervous with him. Yeah, because just it's the first time he's ever called a game in a playoff game. And I don't know what the Patriots do really well on defense. Like, where do you hang your hat on? Is it zone? Is it man-to-man? I do like the fact that I think going up against a Patriots offense is difficult because you can't zone in on just one thing. All these different plays that they throw at you is done to kind of confuse you so that you can't zero in and put game plans to stop them. They spread the ball around. So who do you stop in this situation? I don't know, because they go to different guys and all season long. So I think there's a part of that aspect for Zach Kor that you don't really know what he's going to hit you with because he changes what he does week to week. That's kind of what I think there's a benefit in that and not knowing much about the guy, because really on tape, you don't see – like, you see the Chargers play 80% zone. Yep. Like, that is undisputable. That is a tendency. That is their bread and butter. So you can exploit that. The Patriots on both sides of the ball, They don't have those tendencies that just jump out at you.
Fitzy, how are you feeling about Zach Hardcore in his first playoff game calling the defensive plays?
It's a great point by you right there, Ted. Like, I am a little anxious because Greg Roman has been around. He has made the rounds as an offensive coordinator. And while you were pointing out yesterday how he can be a little unpredictable with his running calls, most people know if it's Jim Harbaugh coach, Greg Roman OC'd team, they're going to run to try to set up the play action pass. But they know also that they're an underdog coming into a place with a Mike Vrabel defense. Aaron Rodgers, everyone else always says, like, oh, it's a Mike Vrabel defense. You know they're going to come at you. They're going to hit hard. I wouldn't be surprised to see them. Just as much as you're expecting Jesse Minter to throw some wrinkles at the Patriots offense to try to confound Drake May in his first playoff game, I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys try their strengths first and then see if they can't pull a fast one on a guy who has been basically kind of just figuring it out and doing a great job, mind you, stepping in for a defensive coordinator in the form of Core. Yeah.
What I like that we're doing and that Girardi was pointing out, which is accurate, is the playoffs to me, it really, you start focusing more on coordinators because mm-hmm. it's really about coordinators calling the right plays at the right time. It's not the head coaches. They give the power to their coordinators to call these plays. And so if they, I mean, you can think of plays that, what were they thinking on that fourth down? What was that play? Or the defense, why did they blitz on a third and 10 in that situation? So there's a lot of pressure on these coordinators, too, to call the plays at the right time.
And it's a little bit like, I don't know if it's to call the right play all the time or just make sure you don't call the wrong play two or three or four key time. It's almost like a cornerback, right? Like you can cover for 41 snaps, but if you give up three key catches on those other three snaps, you know, you can play a great defensive game. You could have a decent defensive game in the Super Bowl, for example, and go zero blitz and give up a touchdown and say, yeah, we probably in hindsight shouldn't have done that. So don't have those three or four screw ups, Zach Core, right, Fitzy?
Yeah, and also, like Andy, this all ties back into the wisdom of Will Campbell, like in his offseason, the line in the offseason interview where he said, you know, no disrespect to people that do this, but, you know, you can play awesome and give up one sack and you'll be a game and you'll be working at Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you get one sack a game, you make millions of dollars. If you give up one sack a game, you're working at Amazon in a couple of weeks. It's the reality of the edge life in the NFL. So I asked you, Ted, Patriots' biggest advantage. So I know I think you're leaning towards having some faith in the Patriots, but I want you to play devil's advocate. What's the Chargers' biggest advantage in this game?
You know, probably it's got to be Derwin James, right?
That's what I said.
It's got to be Derwin James. He's the guy that you can move around. He's a chess piece that is very versatile. You don't know where he's lining up. You don't know what he's doing. He blitzes. He plays, you know, half field. He does a lot of different things. And so it's very hard to key in on where he's going to be. A la, you know, Troy Polamalu back in the day, Ed Reed back in the day. He has that same kind of impact on his defenses that those guys had on theirs.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fitzy, is that something that Drake May should fear? Like, we joked earlier about the Ed Reed, Tom Brady fine 20 on every play that he wrote on his wristband.
Right.
Or is there a danger of overemphasizing your thoughts about Derwin James and forgetting that, there's also 10 other guys on the field that should probably know where they are as well.
I think there's a fine line, Andy, between fear and awareness. Like, always, like, find Ed Reed, always be aware of James, but you can't just say the entire game, we're not throwing anywhere near this guy, or we're just going to roll everything that we possibly can away from Derwin James. Something's going to be in his neighborhood or vicinity at some point, but being smart about ball security, given the fact that he can sack you, given that he'll strip the ball, given that he has incredible range and strength. Yeah, that's just good coaching if they make sure they're constantly aware of him, but you can't live in fear. If they play this game, Andy, if they play this game fearfully, they lose already. Like, the game's lost if they're playing from, you're playing from behind before the first kickoff.
No, you're right. You're right, Fitzy, to say that. And then also, just don't forget, where he lines up before the snap is not where he's going to end up in after the snap. That's what is, the Bills did a great job in one of the, I don't know, it was the in their second half of this last game that the Patriots played at home against the Bills of really showing him one coverage before the snap and then switching to another coverage after the snap. So he has to think on the fly. The receivers have to think on the fly, and that makes their jobs so much more difficult.
So it's obviously a Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons, means we spoke with a coordinator early in the show. That was Jeremy Springer. And Ted, you played on a bunch of Super Bowl teams where special teams pretty much decided who won and lost those games.
Oh, won for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Field goals, blocked kicks, big returns from Troy Brown and others. And we saw it last night. You know, there were multiple missed field goals. There was one where the guy hit the upright and it doinks in a college. There's probably going to be a big special teams player, too. So I asked Jeremy Springer today if the decision-making or game planning in the postseason changes on special teams.
No, I don't think it does. I think you approach the game the way you've been approaching it all year. You're aggressive and where you need to be aggressive, and you're not when you don't. And I think Vrabel and Stretch and those guys on the offense defense side of the ball, they do a great job. And, you know, I just kind of follow that lead. And me and Vrabel are always in constant communication from a special team standpoint. And when we need to choose and win our battles or not, we got to do it. And if not, then we take the pedal off. So I think just approaching each game to how the game is approaching you throughout the game is how we'll keep doing it.
You believe that's true, Ted? Does it not change anything in terms of decision-making when they might kick a field goal where they're right on that edge of do we punt or Marcus Jones a fair catch or maybe we need a play here because, you know, the season's kind of hanging in the balance right here. Does it change any decision-making?
Oh, yes, it does. Because it's either you lose, you go home.
Right.
So it's kind of you have to maybe make yes decisions based on knowing that fact.
Right.
That if you don't execute this play the right way, that you might not have a game next week. So I think he's saying all the things he needs to say, but the truth really is more that you're going to make decisions that you might not normally have made because of what is at stake.
And it might be above his pay grade, Fitzy. No disrespect to him, but the head coach is going to decide a lot. He'll take his input, and we'll have our pregame, and Borregales can tell me I'm good from 58 or whatever.
Yep.
And then Vrabes will go, thanks for the information, and now Stretch and I will talk about it and do what we need to do to win a playoff game, right, Fitzy?
Yeah, we asked him that question during the 2 o'clock hour interview as well about how the confidence that he had in his special teams unit, the way they were able to rebound that last minute and a half of that Miami game last week, as frustrating as elements of that were, Andy, in the first half, to watch your team make a mistake to then turn around and be able to execute so quickly and so efficiently, knowing that Borregales could potentially be good from 60 in the cold, that gives Vrabel, Springer, and the entire offense huge confidence going into a game like this in what could honestly be decided by a field goal. And by the way, the other team's got a pretty good kicker as well.
Also could be decided by an injury, a guy who's out, a replacement, and we do have the final practice participation and injury report of the week. The only person who's out for your New England Patriots is Kyrese Tonga, the defensive lineman, but I don't want to say only because, you know, that's a valuable run stuffer.
He was your best interior defensive line against the run.
And he was your short yardage fullback if you get into that situation. I know you don't think as much of that, Ted, as I do, but I'm a big fan of fullback play. Westover has been doing the job in his absence.
He's doing better than people give him credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then the questionable guys are Kayshon Booty, Harold Landry, and Thayer Munford. I assume those guys are going to play. They were all limited most of the week. Munford was a DNP with a knee, and he's been a key extra lineman.
No question.
So
it'd be a little bit with Tonga out and Munford out. It takes away kind of what you maybe want to do against their smaller personnel group.
Right. Or even in those, you know, that one game where they had the six tries from the goal line. You don't want to get in one of those situations where you're at the
How
one.
How about
and you
they
can't
played Munford at fullback on a lead draw last week?
Yeah.
Let's go. I was tripping. I was like, 74 is in the backfield? What is going on, man?
The rest of the injury report, Garrett Bradbury was full participation, so that's good. He had dealt with the illness. Travion Henderson, you may have read on social media, wasn't on the practice field today. That is not injury-related. It's a personal issue, but he did not participate today, but he does not have an injury designation. And the big one for the Chargers is Omarion Hampton. The running back, the rookie, former North Carolina player like Drake May, has an ankle injury. He missed practice a couple days this week, but he was back out there limited. he's listed as questionable. So obviously they want him on the field because they want to try to run the ball, split the carries between Vidal and Hampton and come right at you. So that's going to do it for the drive today on a Patriots Friday. Up next, we are doing a pick six parlay, but it's a new version because you're wondering, wait, how are they going to do this? There's only six games. Well, we're picking all six games as part of our pick six parlay. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.